Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Daf Mem Gimel in the Gemara in Shabbos. And we yesterday learned the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Omud Beis, where we brought down that a person is not permitted to go put a kli, the utensil underneath the lamp that was filled with oil, to go and collect the oil that may spill out on that. To explain why this was the case, we brought down a statement from Rav Chisda, who said that you're not allowed to go and put a kli under a chicken to go collect the egg that's going to fall out of the chicken, but you are allowed to go put a kli on top of the egg that is laid in order that it shouldn't break. And we brought down yesterday Rabba's reasoning, which basically is that a kli is not allowed to be moved except for something that is not muktzah. You can't take a kli and move it for a muktzah item. That was Rabba's shita. And he used that to explain Rav Chisda. So how come Rav Chisda says you can move a kli on top of an egg? So Rabba had explained that that was a very common situation. A hen lays an egg in an ashpa, and the ashpa is a common area where people walk, and it would get stepped on and destroyed. So the rabbis didn't institute their chumrah, the whole din of not using a kli is a din de rabbanon, it's a chumrah, and the rabbis didn't institute their situation, their gzeira, to put a kli that is not muktzah for a item that is muktzah. They didn't institute that if it's a common situation that the item that's muktzah would be destroyed. So the egg laying in the ashpa, it'd easily be destroyed. The rabbis didn't institute that you can't move a kli for a muktzah item in that situation. You can move a kli for a muktzah item. But when the hen lays the egg, it doesn't normally lay it on an incline, we said, and therefore that's a very uncommon situation, and therefore you're not allowed to go and put a kli to catch the hen's egg. That was Rabba's explanation. A kli cannot be moved. Ein kli nital, elu litzorech dovar hanital, except for a non-muksa item. That's the way Rashi uses the terminology. Ein kli nital, elu litzorech dovar hanital. You can only use a kli for something that's not muksa. You can't use a kli for something that's muksa, with the exception if it's something that's going to commonly be damaged, so then the rabbis never instituted this gezeira. That was the opinion of Rabba. We had several challenges that Abaye made to Rabba, and we answered all of them, and we now are up to the second explanation of Rav Chisda, which is Rav Yosef Omar. This is about seven lines down on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Yosef Omar, a different reasoning for Rav Chisda. Hainu time of the Rav Chisda. The following is the reasoning why Rav Chisda said you cannot put a kli underneath the hen to gather its egg so it doesn't break, but you can't put a kli over the egg that's laid in the ashpa. What is Rav Yosef's reasoning? It's not that a kli that is nital cannot be nital except for a non-muktza item. He doesn't hold like that. So he says, Mishum de komivato kli mehechano, because by putting this kli into an area where a muktza item is going to fall into it, like underneath the chicken, and the hen is going to lay the egg into this pot, the egg is muktza, so now you've made this kli mevutol from its hechano, from its preparation. And this is the issa that Rav Yosef says, midrabanan, this is the gzeira, mishum de komivato kli mehechano, because now this pot that has the egg that fell into it is no longer able to be moved because of the muktza egg in it, and therefore you're not allowed to be mevato kli mehechano. That's why Rav Yosef says you're not allowed to go put in the Mishnah the bowl underneath or near the lamp to collect the oil that spills out, because now this kli, this bowl, which is normally muchan, is no longer going to be muchan because the muktza oil is going to go into it, like the muktza egg is going to go into the kli that you put underneath the chicken. That is the reasoning of Rav Yosef. So Abaye had asked a whole bunch of questions on Rabba yesterday. So Abaye is an all equal opportunity questioner, and he asked almost all the same questions, plus one, to Rav Yosef as well. So we go through the same series of questions from yesterday. It's a good chance to do Chazara. Esri Abaye, Abaye asked, now he's asking Rav Yosef instead of Rabba, Chavish shel tevel shenishbro, you have a barrel of wine, let's say, that's made out of tevel, that broke. So now all the wine is going to spill out. So the Mishnah says, the Brisa says, that maybe kli acher umeniach tachtel. You're allowed to go bring another barrel, some other container, and let it collect all the tevel wine that's falling out, that's coming out of the broken barrel. Now, You're mevato kli mechano. The tevel is mukta. So now, when it flows into this non-mukta kli, you're being mevato kli mechano. Kashon Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef would respond, and he would say, "Omalei tevel muchanu etzol Shabbos." Who says this tevel is mukta? Technically, midoraisa, you're allowed to take off chumas and maisis on Shabbos. It's only midorabanan that the rabbi said, this looks like you're masakin mana, it looks like you're fixing a utensil, it looks like you're fixing something. Before it wasn't edible, now it is edible. So that could easily be confused with fixing something, making it from something that wasn't good to something that is good. So the rabbi said, don't do chumas and maisis on Shabbos. But midoraisa, if you did mafrish chumas and maisis on Shabbos, it would no longer be tevel. So at least on a daraisa level, this wine in the barrel that's tevel is technically not muktzah. And that's how Rav Yosef would respond to Abaye. He says, Amalei, tevel muchan uetzel Shabbos. Technically, mid daraisa, the tevel is muchan. Because what happens if somebody did mafrish trumas and maizes from it? Shim avar v'sikno, mesukan. If somebody, in fact, did take off trumas and maizes from it, then it would be mesukan. And therefore, the tevel is not muktzah, and that's why it's not called mevato kli meichano in this situation. Now, this is a simple way to understand this, and that's the way Tosus brings this down over here in Dira Maskil, Tevel Muchan Uetzel Shabbos. But he brings down that this was difficult according to the Rashba. The Rashba says in Maseches Trumos, where he brings down, also the Gemara in Gittin, he says, Hamaser b'Shabbos, if you did take off Trumos and Maises on Shabbos, if you did it b'Shogeg Yochal, but if you did it b'Mezid, lo Yochal. You're not allowed to go and eat it. So therefore, it still remains Muktza, because it still remains Tevel. And our language over here, which says im avar v'tikno, implies it was b'mezid. It doesn't say im shogag v'tikno. And therefore, this throws a wrench in our answer. How can you tell me that technically the tevel is muchan, because if you did take off Trumas and Maisis on Shabbos, it would be good? It clearly says from the Mishnah and Trumos and the Gemara in Gittin that it's not good. So Tosus answers, nira, the nokat avar, it says over here avar, only talking about a situation we had no other peros at all. And in that situation, dafilu b'mezid yochal. That's teres number one. He then goes through some other terusim, but that gets around this obvious question. In any event, Rav Yosef survives the first challenge from Abaye. Abaye doesn't stop. He tries again. Nostum kli tachas ane'er l'kabel nitzotzos. We had this yesterday. Every one of these questions, except the last one, Abaye asked on Rabbah, and now he's asking each of them on Rav Yosef. So it says, Nostum kli tachas ane'er l'kabel nitzotzos. One is allowed to go and put a kli underneath this lamp to go and collect over here any sparks that come flying off the lamp that shouldn't burn your house down. Now, these nitzotzos are muktza, and yet you're allowed to go put a non-muktza kli over here. This kli that is muchan, you're now putting it there, and you're mevato kli mechanu when the nitzotzos land in it. Kashon Rav Yosef. So the obvious teretz over here, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, Nitzotzos, same ben Mamish. What are you collecting over here? You're collecting sparks. The sparks are gone in a second. So therefore, it's blocking them from setting fire, but it's not collecting them. You're not going to have, at the end of the day, 100 sparks in this utensil. You're going to have zilch over there. So therefore, it's not really collecting anything, and it's not called that Yomavato Kli Mehechano, because at the end of the day, the Kli is empty. And therefore, you can pick the Kli up, and it's not Mavuto Mehechano, and therefore, there is no Kasha on Rav Yosef. Abaye tries again. We said, v'chein karosh in ishbro, you have a beam over here that broke. So we said, somchin also besaf, so in order to support the rest of the roof, and this beam that's broken, you can put a bench over there, or bi'arucho samito, or put the sideboards of a bed over there to support the beam. Now, this safsol, or these sideboards of the bed, are a kli that was muchan, but now you're putting it there and it's supporting a muktza item. So you're mevato kli meichano kashon Rav Yosef. So Gemara says no. The rafi, the ibai shakale. We're not talking over here that it's so tightly wedged in that you can't remove it. The house won't fall down. No, this is helping support it. But if you wanted to, you could actually take it out without the beam and the rest of the roof falling down. It's loose. It's rafi. The ibai shakale. If you wanted to take it out, you could. Therefore, you're not mevato kli meichano. That's how Rav Yosef gets around this question of Abaye. Again, noslin kli tachas adelet b'Shabbos. We said if you have a leaky roof and you're collecting the rainwater or the water that's leaking through from the roof, you're allowed to do this. How come this water is muktza? It's usually not potable, and therefore it's muktza, and you're collecting it in a non-muktza vessel. You're mevato kli meichano kashon Rav Yosef. So Gemara says, no, very simple terrace. The Delaf are right. Who says it's dirty water? It's nice, clean rainwater. And you have a little hole in your roof, so the nice, clean rainwater is falling through into this cup. So it's not a muktzo water that's falling into this cup. It's delicious, clear water. And therefore, it's not mevato kli meichano. Now we ask a question that we didn't ask on Rabbah, that's only going to be asked on Rav Yosef. The Braisa continues, Abaye's question, Kofin es asal lifnei afrochim, you're allowed to overturn a basket in front of the little chicks that are next to their coop, shiyal v'yerdu, so they can go in and out of their coop. Not a problem. You're allowed to do this. Now how come? These little chicks are muktza, they weren't prepared before Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to go and put a kli in their usage. So when they step on the kli, demavato the kli meichano, kashon Rav Yosef. The Braisa says you're allowed to do this, but according to Rav Yosef, yemavato kli meichano, you shouldn't be allowed to do this. So what's Rav Yosef's teretz? Kesavar mutal taltlo. He says, who says you can't move this basket? The birds aren't stuck to it. The birds go up and off, up and off. They're getting into their coop, out of their coop, into their nest, out of their nest. So it's not a permanent structure that they're always on it. And therefore, when the bird is on it, you're right, you can't move it. But as soon as the bird gets off it, it's no longer kli that is mevuto meichano, and therefore Rav Yosef has no problem. Where it says, but that's not what the Braisa says. Keep on reading. Vatanya also l'taltalo. The Braisa says, Beferish, you're not allowed to move this basket once you overturned it and the birds got on it, even if they're not on it right now. Where it says, no, that's not what it means. It means ba'od and olav. It only means tanya also l'taltalo while the birds are on it. Where it says, that's also not correct. Behold, tanya, it says, afal pisha ain't old and olav also. Another Braisa says that even when the birds are not on the basket, you're still not allowed to move the basket. In other words, you're mevatu kli meichano, and it's also to move it. Kashan Rav Yosef. So I'm a Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says, no. Ba'od and olav kobein hashmoshos. You know what this Braisa is talking about today? It's also. The birds were on this basket the entire period of time of the Bein HaShmashos. And we have a rule. If something was muktza Bein HaShmashos, migu diskatzoy le Bein HaShmashos, in fact, the birds were on this basket the whole time during the Bein HaShmashos, iskatzoy le kuliyoma. If something is muktza during the Bein HaShmashos, it automatically becomes muktza for the rest of Shabbos. So only in this case, where the birds were on this basket for the entire Bein HaShmashos, does in fact this kukli become muktza. But in a normal situation, when the birds are on the basket and then get off the basket, or on the basket, get off the basket, so then it's not mevato kli meichano, and there's no kasha on Rabbi Yosef. So we're left intact, both the sheet of Rabbah, that a kli is only allowed to be moved for a non-mukta item, and a kli that's going to Rabbah, and according to Rabbi Yosef, you're not allowed to be mevato kli meichano, but all of these cases, we're not talking about a kli that was mevato meichano. Those are the two explanations of Rav Chista. But now we have somebody that disagrees with the entire opinion of Rav Chista. On Rav Yitzchak says, "Kishem she'ein nostim kli tachas tarnegolis lekabel beitzasa." Just like we said, Rav Chista agreed to this, that you're not allowed to put a kli underneath the hen in order to collect the egg. But Rav Chista had said, but you can put a basket over the egg in the ashpa. But Rav Yitzchak disagrees with that. Rav Yitzchak says, "Kach in kofin ala kli b'shul shelo si shaver." You're not allowed to even put a kli on it in the ashpa so that it shouldn't break. So here's the major difference between Rav Yitzchak and Rav Chista. Rav Chista says we both agree that you can't put the kli underneath the chicken to catch the egg, but Rav Chista says you can put a kli overturned on top of the egg to protect it, and Rav Yitzchak says no, you can't. Now, why not? Why does Rav Yitzchak disagree? So, kesaver ain't kli nital eladavri nital b'shabbos. So he actually holds like Rab over here that you're only allowed to move a kli for something that in itself is not muktza. So you can move a kli for a non-muktza item. But he holds like Rabba that you can move a kli for a muktza item. But if that's true, then every question that Abaye asked to Rabba, he can now ask to Rav Yitzchak. So Meisvei call Hadit Yufta. He asked him every one of those questions. We went through the four brises that were all questions on Rabbah, that you're using a kli for a muktza thing and you're not allowed to do that. So for example, we said you're not allowed to put the kli underneath the broken barrel of the tevel wine, in my example. You're not allowed to put the kli to catch the tzotzos. You're not allowed to put the kli to prevent the flame from causing a fire on the beam that broke, and you're not allowed to go and support a broken beam with a kli. Every one of these was, we said, you're not allowed to use a kli to support or use it for a muktza item. And in every one of those, Rabbah got away with it and said, well, in this situation, it was a Dover Shriach that it would happen, and therefore that din doesn't apply. But according to Rabbah, it's okay when you have a Dover Shriach, it doesn't apply. But according to Rav Yitzchak, he doesn't hold from that Kula. So all of these questions, Mesvei Kol Anin Tiyufta. So how does Rav Yitzchak get around those? He can't answer like Rabbah did, that it's a Dover Shriach, and therefore the rabbis weren't Gozer. He says they were Gozer in a Dover Shriach, because he says they were Gozer, even for the egg of the Ashba, which was a Dover Shriach. So Gemara answers, Vishane Bitzorech Lemakomo. Every one of these, Rav Yitzchak would answer that you're allowed to move this Kli over here because you need its place. You're right, you wouldn't be allowed to move it for a Muktzah item, but you're allowed to move it because you need its place. So once he picks up this Kli, he has a heter to go pick up the Kli, he can put it down wherever he wants to, even for a Muktzah item. So therefore, he could pick it up and put it on top of the egg. He could pick it up and put it to prevent the fire from burning the beams, etc., etc., etc. More questions this. Toshma. Achas beitz shenolda b'Shabbos v'achas beitz shenolda b'yontif. You have an egg that was laid on Shabbos or an egg that was laid on yontif. Both of them are muktzah. Okay? So ein metatlin, you're not allowed to move it because it's muktzah. And therefore, lo lechasus wasa kli. You can't use this to be like a stopper on top of a bottle. You can't use it to be the top of a kli. Likewise, the lismoch bo kariyamita. You can't use it to support a bed. Surprising, an egg is a very sturdy thing. We think of an egg crushing so easily. But if you stand an egg up on its vertical axis, it can actually support quite a bit of weight. So if you want to use this over here to support a bed, it would theoretically at least be able to hold it. So you're not allowed to use it for either of these two things. You're not allowed to be metalted over here to use it as a plug, a stopper for a bottle, or to support the bed the legs of a bed. However, avol kofel lo kli b'shul shelo tishaver. But you are allowed to put something on top of it. You can overturn a kli on top of it that the egg shouldn't break. Now here, you're moving a non-muktzah item for the sake of this muktzah egg. How are you allowed to do so? Kashan Rav Yitzchak. So he gives the same terrors he gave before. Hachanami b'tzorech l'makomo. You needed this place over here of this keli, so you picked up this keli. Once you picked up the keli, you can put it down wherever you want, including on top of the egg. You didn't pick up the keli to cover up the egg. You picked up the keli because you needed its space. Once you're picking it up, you can go put it on top of the egg. Same terrors. Try again. Gemara says, Toshma. We have another brisa. Parsin machtzolos al gabi avodim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to go spread out mats on top of stones on Shabbos. Now, stones are muktzah on Shabbos. The mats are not. How are you allowed to spread out the mats using a kli that is muchan to go and use it for a tzorich of a muktzah item, the rocks? So kasha again on Rav Yitzchak. So where it says, no problem. We're talking here about the rocks that aren't muktzah. What rocks aren't muktzah? Ba'avonim mikruzolos. We're talking here about very sharp stones. Rashi says over here, mikruzolos is roshon chad. Their head is sharp, pointy. V'ru'uyos likinuach. When we say sh'asali kol tzarchi every morning, we can say, thank God that we have toilet paper. We don't go to the bathroom and wipe ourselves with rocks, because that's what they used to do. So that's giving additional meaning to when we say sh'asali kol tzarchi every morning, that we're taking care of in that nice way, that we use shaman and soft tissue to wipe ourselves rather than using a sharp rock. But that's what they used to use. So these rocks are at muktzah, because they needed to take care of your toileting. So therefore, roshon chad, they had a sharp edge, ruyusli kinuch, and therefore they could scrape away the excrement, and they're very valuable, and they're useful, they have a dover anital, and therefore these rocks, as opposed to a regular rock, are not considered muktzah. So that's why you're covering up these rocks over here with mats, because these are non-muktzah rocks. You can cover up non-muktzah rocks with a non-muktzah mat. Why? Because the chazin and lebesa kisa, because they're usable as bathroom toilet paper. Try again, toshma. You can likewise spread these mats, which are a utensil, and you can put them on top of bricks on Shabbos. Now, aren't bricks muktzah? How can you put the mats on top of the bricks? That's Gemara's question. Gemara gives a similar type of a teretz. The ishtoyu mibinyona. These were the remnants. You built your house already, and these were the bricks that were left over. What do you do with leftover bricks? They become stools. They become chairs for a person to sit on. The chazyon lemizgo alayu. You can sit upon them. So therefore, if you can sit upon them, as Rashi says, lehishon, you can lean on them. Shekol asibos and kachoy so yoshiv kitzas. Right? We just went through Pesach, and we had the heseba, halayla ze, kulonu misubin. So they would lean. So this was like a low bed that they would lean on over here. Venishon kitzas al smolo. And they would lean a little bit on the left when they would sit down. So that's what you could use these bricks for, and therefore they weren't considered muktzah. Try again. Toshma, parsim achatzelas agabi kaveres devorim b'shabes. You're allowed to go and take your mats over here and put them on top of a beehive. Kaveres devorim is a beehive. We had the word kaveres earlier when we were talking about just a utensil that was shaped in the shape of a beehive, like a cylindrical type of a pot, but here we're talking about an actual beehive. Now, you're allowed to go put your mat on top of the beehive on Shabbos. Now, you're allowed to do this in the summer months to protect you from the sun, in the winter months to protect you from the rain. The Braisa says, as long as you're not intending to trap the bees, when you put the mat on top of the kaveres, you're not intending to trap the bees. Now, a beehive on Shabbos is muktza. Yet, you're allowed to go take the mats and put it on top of it. Kasha, how can Rav Yitzchak say over here that you're allowed to move a kli for a davar muktza? Shmuel says, who says that they're muktza? Hocham ha'eskin, you know we're talking about. Dika dvash, there's honey inside. And honey is allowed to be taken out from a beehive. And therefore, it's not muktza. Therefore, you're allowed to protect it with the mats. Only Ravukva, who came from the city of Meshon, said to Ravashi, that's not correct. Tainach b'mosachama, that works out great in the summer months when there is honey inside a beehive. Return to the Amud Beis. However, because the ikadvash, because there is dvash there. B'mosachishamim, however, during the winter months, the lekadvash, well, the honey's dried up. Michael and Amir, how come you're allowed to go put the mats over the beehive in the winter when there's muktza beehive because there's no honey inside? Kasha. Shmuel says, no, it's not such a kasha. There's always the two essential combs of honey that are left inside. That's what the bees live on during the winter. They eat their honey, and that's how they survive the winter months. So that technically is edible. So therefore, it's not muktza. That's why you can put the mats over the beehive even in the winter months. Where it says, no, but they're muktza because you want to save those for the bees. The bees will die if you don't leave them those honeycombs, and therefore, v'hal muktzos ninu, that's why they're left there for the bees, and they're considered muktza. Shmuel says, no, you're only considered muktza if you don't think about it. But here, d'choshev alayu, the person said, I'm getting out of the bee business, and therefore I don't care if the bees will die over here, and I'm going to take the last two combs of honey. So he was choshev alayu, and therefore they're not muktza. But that implies, the Gemara says, halo choshev alayu, if you didn't have that in mind, my, what would halacha be? Also, because it would be muktza. So then, why did you tell me before that you have to make sure that you don't trap the bees inside? So instead of giving me that reason, we always like to give a reason within itself. You'll see what I mean in a second. So he says, instead of telling me that you have to have the proviso over here that you didn't intend to trap the bees, so instead of giving me that proviso, liflo v'lis they be the dog. Go and give me the distinction from the very case itself. When are you allowed to put the mat on top of it in a situation when you had planned to use the last two honeycombs? So that's when it would be prohibited. Why do you have to give me this case over here that you shouldn't go trap the bees? So Gemara gives us very simple terrors. No, that's exactly what it's teaching us. Even though you intended to use those last two honeycombs, and therefore it's not muktzah, but even there you have to be careful. When you cover up the mats, cover up the beehive with the mats, you have to be very careful that you don't trap the bees inside, because if you intended to trap the bees inside, then you're over in Isser of trapping. So Gemara questions this and says, who is the author of this price of money? Now, if you're going to tell me, Rabbi Shimon is the author of this brisa, so wait a second, it can't be Lesle Muktzah. He doesn't hold from most things being Muktzah. Only on the very, very specific situations that Rabbi Shimon hold Muktzah, this wouldn't be one of them. So this can't be Rabbi Shimon. Oh, it must be Rabbi Yehuda, his famous Bar Plukta, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Muktzah. See, Rabbi Yehuda, so then, Kilo Miskabin, my habit, who cares that you didn't intend to trap the bees? Also, Rabbi Yehuda's famous sheet is that even if it's not something that you intended, if the Issa results, you're Chayev. So how could this be you're telling me that this is Rabbi Yehuda, and as long as you didn't intend to trap the bees, you're okay? Even if you didn't intend to trap the bees are trapped. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's Osir. So again, it can't be Rabbi Shimon, because he doesn't offer Muktzah. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because he says the Davar Shenu Miskabin is Chayev. So he says, no, we're okay. Lolem Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, this could go according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Davar Shenu Miskabin, and it should be Chayev. No, what does it mean? Ubavad, my ubavad shlo yiskabin lotzud. What does it mean that you have to be careful that you didn't intend to trap over here? Shlo yasen o kibetzuda. When you put the machatzelis over it, you can't totally enclose the beehive. As long as you have a little bit of room for it to get out, then it's not going to be called trapping. The lishbok lu ravacha. Therefore, leave a little bit of room so that any of the bees that are underneath the mat can still get out. Even Rabbi Yehuda says this is not a dover shenu miskavi nischai because it's not accomplished. You didn't really accomplish trapping the bees, and therefore it's not a problem. So this is the teretz that we gave to Rav Ukva for Meishan when he asked Rav Ashi. So we gave one teretz, but Rav Ashi himself gives the teretz now. Rav Ashi himself gives the teretz. It didn't really say in the summer months and in the winter months. No. When there's sun out, you're allowed to protect it from the sun. When there's rain out, you're allowed to protect it. It didn't say winter and summer. It said sun and rain. You can have sun and rain during other times of the year when there definitely is honey in the honeycomb. B'yomi Nisan or B'yomi Tishrei, they're in the months of Nisan and the month of Tishrei. So then, the Ika Chama, the Ika Gishamim, you have both the sun and sometimes you have the rain, but it's not the winter and summer. So you have sun and you have rain, and certainly during those months, the Ika Dvash, you still have honey inside. Therefore, you don't have to say that you have Mechashiv for the last two honeycombs. It's talking about when there's plenty of honey inside, and therefore there is no problem. Marketing news says, Amul Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told his Tamidim, Puku. Poke means go out. Puku, you guys go out. Be'im Rulei Rav Yitzchak and go tell Rav Yitzchak that he's correct. Kivar Tirgumo Rav Huna Lishmaistech Bevavel. Rav Huna in Babel agrees with your teaching. Dama Rav Huna, what did Rav Huna say? Ose Mechitza L'meis B'shulchai. You're allowed to go make a Mechitza for a mace when there are living people that will benefit from this mechitz, as we'll see in a moment in the story. This is exactly what Rav Yitzchak had said, that as long as you have a heter to make the thing that you're doing, it's not considered that you're mevatel kli mehechano. So he says over here, ve'ein osim mechitza lemeis b'shul meis. You can't make a mechitza for a meis because of the meis, but you can make a mechitza that the meis will benefit from. It will be protected from the sun. It won't decay because of live people. What do we mean by this? Maihi. What exactly is Rav Huna telling us over here? It's exactly like Rav Yitzchak. The Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, v'chein tana shilamari. And so too, the Amar Shilamari said in the following braisa, Meis hamutal b'chama, Rechman al-Islam, there's a dead person in the hot Mediterranean sun, and you're worried that the body's going to decay. It's on Shabbos. So boim shnei be'odim, two people come. V'yosh b'tzido, one stays to the right of the mace, one stays to the left of the mace. Now it's very hot out there, it's in the sun. So what happens? Cham lohem milamato. So when they start feeling hot on the ground, so then they have a right to go bring something there. So they bring a bed there. Zeh may be mito v'yosh b'leah. This one doesn't want to stand on the hot sand or on the hot ground, so he brings a bed over there and he sits down. Zeh may be mito v'yosh b'leah. And the other one brings a bed and he sits down. Now, they're both sitting down on the beds next to the mace. Now, it gets hotter further. Cham lohem milamato. It's now hot above them. It's not only hot on the ground beneath them. They're hot. They're schwitzed up. So in this situation, Avi Machatzel is a person of land. They're each allowed to go bring a mat and cover it up over their heads to protect themselves, shield themselves from the sun. And they do this by Zezokep Mitoso. One puts it up on top of his bed. He uses the bed to support this mat. And he's underneath it, Uparsin Aleyan, and they have the mat over him, and says, okay, Mitoso, Vinishma. And then the other one puts the mat over him, and then Vinishma, they both leave. Vaholechlo, each of them leaves, and the mats are still there. And the mats are now covering up the beds, and also the dead person, Nebuchadnezzar, in between them. It says, okay, Mitoso, Vinishma, Vaholechlo. So each of them puts up his mat, and then leaves, and you have left, Vinimsis Mechitza, Suyamelel. The Mechitza is standing up by itself, so to say, and the Nebuchadnezzar is going to be covered up somewhat, so he's going to be in the shade, and he's not going to go and decay as fast. So this is exactly the example. You're allowed to move it. Rav Sheshes said, the Rav Huna says exactly, Lirik Rav Yitzchak, you had a heter to put it there, and then it's there mimela, and it's perfectly fine. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Itmar, meis mutu b'chama, nebuch, you have a mace in the sun, and it's going to decay, so what do? You want to put it into a cooler area. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Hovcho mimita lemita, it's on some sort of a bed, and you roll it off one bed onto another bed, and you roll that to another bed until you put it into a shadier place. Rav Chanina bar Shlalmiya mishmei d'rava Amar, alternatively, this is what you can do. Meniach lov kikar, you put a piece of bread on the mace, Nebuch, o tinok, where you put a baby on it, and now the bread or the tinok is allowed to be moved, and you move the mace as a way to move the bread or the tinok. Meniach lov kikar or tinok umetablo, you're allowed to go and move the mace in this fashion. The mace is considered over here tofel to the bread or to the tinok. And that's why you can move the mace for the purposes of the tinok or the bread. This is a special heter over here for kavod ha-mace. So Shmuel said that you have to roll the person from one bed to another bed. And Ravid said, Rav Chanina bar Shamia, in the name of Ravid said, you put a piece of bread or tinok on the mace. So Mur explains, Hey Chadika, Kikar tinok. Everybody agrees that if you have a piece of bread or you have a tinok, so Kuliyama lo pligi the shar. Even Shmuel says that that's perfectly acceptable. So where do Rav and Shmuel have a machlokes? If they both say you can put the kikar or the tinok on, so then do that. So the answer is, they argue, keep pligi the last late when you don't have a kikar or a tinok. So Rav says, sorry buddy, you got nothing to do. Shmuel says, I got an eitzah for you. You can tilt the bed that the mace is on and have it roll onto another bed and then roll onto another bed. And this is called tiltu minatzad. And Shmuel says that that's allowed. But Rav says, Marsovar tiltu minatzad shmei tiltu. He says, no, that's called tiltu. That's not an eitzah. That's called moving it. What difference does it make if you're moving it indirectly or directly? That's called moving it. So Rav says that this is called tiltu minatzad shmei tiltu. And Shmuel says, Marsovar lo shmei tiltu. That's not called tiltu. That's called tiltu minatzad. And therefore, that's allowed. So they're arguing about this tiltu minatzad, yes or no. But they both agree that the better eitzah is to have the kikar or the tinok. Now, this is a machlokis between Amorayim. Let us say the Gemara says, Leimu ketanoi. This is actually a machlokis amongst the Tanoim from the following brisa. Hey, Matzilas and Mace, you're not allowed to go and save a Nebuchadnezzar mace that's in a burning house because of the flames over there. That's what the Mishnah says. Amr of Yehuda ben Lakish, but Yehuda ben Lakish says, Shomati Shematzilas and Mace ben Adleiko. He said, no, you are allowed to go and save the mace over here from the fire. Why? What are we talking about? Hechidami. Idika kikar otinok. Everybody agrees if there was a kikar otinok that you could put on the mace, of course you can do it. So then, my time with the Tanakhama. Why would the Tanakhama say, you're not allowed to save the mace in that situation? Idileka, and if there is no kikar or tinok, so then, how come Rish Lakish or Yudim Lakish says you're allowed to do that? And Laba Tiltu Minatzad Pligi, so must it be that they're arguing about Tiltu Minatzad? The Mar Sova Tiltu Minatzad Shmei Tiltu. That the Tanakhama says over here that you're not allowed to move it Tiltu Minatzad. That's the same thing as Tiltu. Exactly like Ravid said in the previous Machlokas. And along comes Rev Yehuda, Umar Sovar, Lo Shmei Tiltu. Rev Yehuda Ben Lakish says, no, that Tiltu Minatzad is not called Tiltu, and therefore it's allowed. So this Machlokas over here between Rev Yehuda Ben Lakish and the Tanakhama is exactly the same Machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. Mar says, not necessarily so. Lo. The Kuliyama Tiltu Minatzad Shmei Tiltu. In fact, everybody agrees that if you're moving something in an indirect fashion, that's the same thing as moving in a direct fashion over here. These two Tanoim, both Rav Yehuda Ben Lakish and the Tanakhama, hold like Rav. You can't bring me a raya. No. Why did Rav Yehuda Ben Lakish say you're allowed to do this over here with the mace? He says you're allowed to go and take the mace out, tiltu minatzad. So he said, Hainu time with Rav Yehuda Ben Lakish. In this situation, he's mekel. Why? The mitoksha adam bal amesa. The person is going to see his nebuch, his relative there, and he's going to see that house burning down, and the relative of Rachmanos son is going to get burned up. So he's going to lose his thoughts, and he's going to run in. And if he lo sharet slay, if you don't allow him to go and do this tiltu minatzad, he's going to do an issa deraisa. So it's much better in this situation for the rabbis to let him do what would only be normally an issa derabanan over here, this tiltu minatzad, with shmei tiltu, rather than coming to do an issa deraisa. But in fact, everybody holds it tiltu minatzad, shmei tiltu. So you can't say it's lema tekanoi. Actually, both tekanoi hold like Rav and not like Shmuel. Finally, Mark concludes and he says, Amr Yudim and Shela, Amr Vasi, Amr Yochanan, Halacha Kerv Yudim and Lakish be mace. We fact in Paskin over here, like Kerv Yudim and Lakish over here, in regards to the mace, that the person is Bol Al Meso, is going to be so concerned about his Nebuch, his relative burning up over there as the mace, so he's going to go put it out. Therefore, we let him do it in a hetadik way. Finally, we go to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is quoted and says, You're not allowed to get any benefit from the oil that's left in the lamp, even if the lamp burns out, because it's mukhtza. It's not considered mukhan. You expect it to be burned up in the lamp, and anything that's left over, you can't use. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Mosar Hashem and Shebiner, Vishavakara, Osar. Any leftover oil that's in both this lamp or in a plate that was supposed to be burnt, so it's all considered mukhtza. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. But as we know, Rav Shimon holds that it's not mukhtza. Rav Shimon says only while it's lit, because he then may come to put it out. So therefore, once it's no longer lit, once it burns out, he doesn't hold for mukhtza, and therefore you're allowed to use such oil. That's the famous opinion of Rav Shimon, less lay mukhtza. He doesn't hold for mukhtza. With this, we conclude today's shiur.